is not feeling well, so Sister Rachel stayed home with Sadie, so we want to keep Sadie in our prayers. Sister Sue Ann sent me a message, and she, I think, from what it sounds like, Brother Gary, you handed off what you had to her, as it happens often in the home. But we want to keep Sister Sue Ann in our prayers, kind of fighting that bug fight that, you know, it has been going around. Want to update on Easton. I know that you guys have, many of you have been praying. He started chemotherapy yesterday. Today they went in and did laser surgery to try and shrink the tumors in his eyes, and they don't know, they won't know until a couple of days how effective it was, but just a tragic, his eyes are just now swollen shut probably for a week, they said. So, I mean, he's one, his eyes are swollen shut. They sent a picture, and it just breaks your heart. And they have him, his mom said, you know, he's been in a lot of pain today, but they just put him on morphine, so we're hoping that helped. But, I mean, a one-year-old boy on morphine, it's just such a tragic situation. So please, I know you have been praying, and we appreciate your prayers, but keep the Nave family and little Easton in your prayers this week. Any other prayer requests? Want to open it up for prayer requests tonight? Carrie. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, if you couldn't hear, her sister that we've been praying for the kidney transplant is having the transplant on Friday. The donor is in California. They are having the surgery to remove the kidney tomorrow and shipping it, because the kidney is volatile, or whatever the proper word is, for 24 to 48 hours. So just cover her. Cover that whole situation in prayer. God knows the specifics of that need. Excited that God is working in that need. Yeah. Amen. Any other prayer requests so we can take up together? Sister D. Amen. Sister Kellen. Amen. Amen. I'm going to lift all of those names together. Sister Christy. Amen. Amen. Any other needs? Sister Joella. Keep Levi and Shannon and again the family, grandma, yeah, everyone that's around. It's easily caught. Any other requests? Well, why don't we, if you're close to someone, why don't you just reach out and grab the person's hand next to you, and let's just pray together as one body tonight for these needs that are represented. In Jesus' name. God, we come before you, Lord. We know that you're a healer. There are many needs that are represented. I pray, that you would strengthen, God, that you would touch. Be with the Nichols family when they go through this time of loss. I pray, God, you'd strengthen them. Touch Sister Christy and Brother Mike's work situation. God, you are in control. You are on the throne. You are working things out for our good. I pray for Sister Dee's brother, God, and for Ryan. Touch Mark and Ryan. God, you know the needs. You know what is represented. Help her to be a light there. God, touch Sister Kellum's family. You know the needs. You know that pastor who's down in the south. God, bring peace. Bring healing right there. I pray for Sister Sue Ann, for Sadie. God, that you would touch their bodies, strengthen them, bring them back here on Sunday strong. God, touch Levi and Shannon, keep them. Touch Brother Day's body. God, we need healing there. Lord, I pray for Easton right now. God, you know what he's going through. You know what his parents are going through. God, send your angels right now to their hospital room. Strengthen them. God, let there be peace that rests there. God, settle upon that family, upon each and every one of us tonight. God, let us feel the anointing in this place. Let the Holy Ghost move. Have your way in this place tonight. We give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you, Lord. Why don't we turn that prayer into praise? Let's thank him for what he's going to do in this place. God, we glorify you. God, we magnify you. God, we lift you up. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. in Jesus' name. Sunday, our schedules are 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock. Our main service is 6 o'clock. We're going to have corporate prayer. Friday night, connections, game night here. So if you are curious of what could be brought or what needs to be brought, I would say talk to Brother Wallace or ask Brother Johnson. But we're going to expect a good time. This is a good time to bring somebody that may not usually come to church also. Let's pray for the offering. Lord, I thank you again for your presence. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we could give an offering of praise to you, Lord. I also, Lord, thank you that we could give an offering, Lord, of what you have given to us, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray that you bless this offering, every faithful and cheerful giver, and the one given by faith tonight, in Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
going to sing that one more time, and we're just going to change the words just a little bit. You know, we're singing How Great Is Our God, which is true. He is great. But I just want to turn that into worship to him and just sing the words, How Great Are You, God? And let's just, we'll sing it one more time, and let's just make this a personal, just you and God, as we sing, How Great Are You, God? Just a moment between you and our Creator. Let's sing this. Take an extra moment and let's just pray for our lost loved ones. Let's just lift up our hands and let's ask God to reach. Let's ask God to touch. We need you, Lord. We need you. We're singing about how great you are because you truly are great. Now, God, I pray that you're in your greatness, in your goodness, God, you would reach. We've been praying. We've been believing. And we're not going to stop praying. We still believe that you are reaching for our lost loved ones. God, our children, our family, our brothers, our sisters, our nephews, God, our parents. God, you're still reaching. You're still drawing people. I pray that you would just create a sensitivity in the Holy Ghost. Let them, wherever they're at, whatever they're going through right now, let them know that they have a family member that believes. They have a family member that is praying, that is reaching, that is trying to do everything we can to see them saved. Bring them back. We can only pray the prayers. We can only speak the words you give us, and we trust you will do the rest. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It feels good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It is a sweet presence. It is a sweet atmosphere. I'm just thankful for what we feel right now. Amen. Amen. Our young people can be dismissed. I want to turn our attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Be reading just one verse tonight, and it's a verse we all know well. We're going to read verse 58. First Corinthians chapter 15, 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I want to speak just a few moments tonight. Be ye steadfast. Why don't we just put our phones and Bibles down and let's ask God to just continue to move, continue to do whatever he wants to do in this place. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. God, I thank you, Lord, for what I feel right now, for your presence in this place. I pray in this atmosphere you can touch somebody. In this atmosphere on a lowly Wednesday night, on when we're busy, when we got other stuff going on, God, you can still visit us. You can encourage us. God, give us a word tonight that would impact us and would draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Job 14 and 1 says, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." I think we all, clearly, he says man here, but I believe woman would fall under that category, that we are just of a few days. I know of our lifetime, we may You know, if you live to be 80, 90, 100 years old, you know, it seems, when you say it, it seems like a long time. But as you grow older, you never really feel like you're at the age that you should be at. You know, it just doesn't really, you know, make sense. I know I'm not, you know, as established in years as some of the people here, so I know you can say, move along, we get it. But you just never feel like you get to that certain point. You just kind of grow older is how it happens. But the scripture says is of a few days. And when you get to that point, it doesn't feel like that many years. It just feels like a short amount of time. Most of you are parents in here. You all have probably told my wife and I, and we agree with this, even though we don't really know what it means. But they grow up in a flash. They grow up in a hurry. You blink, and then they're gone. We're at a restaurant with my in-laws last weekend, and you know, a guy got up, and his daughter was in college, and she was with him, and he said, "Well, that was yesterday, wasn't it? You remember that, dear? You know, talking about Paris. It just happened. She was sitting in that seat just yesterday, you know, and of course she's only 14, almost 15 months, but you do feel, you know, we go through the pictures. Now we have phones." So probably you looked through the old catalogs of pictures like my parents did, but we still sit photo albums. That would be I knew it wasn't the right word. I knew it. I was hoping it just would. No, it didn't. Catalogs. JCPenney's used to have catalogs. Sears, basically all the stores that are going out of business that relied upon catalogs. And should we just close? I better just quit while I'm ahead. Yeah. But all of us, you know, we fall under that category. And our lives, if we were honest, would say it's really full of trouble. You know, there's just difficulties in every season of life. They're always different. Sometimes it's the same thing over and over again. But we experience a lot of trouble in our life. Job, as we know, experienced the trouble in the worst of ways. And we're not going to get too deep into Job, but, you know, we know, Scripture tells us, he remained steadfast. Even though everything bad happened, even though his friends told him to give up, his wife told him to give up, he should have given up. He had every reason for if somebody were to give up, he should have given up. But yet he remained steadfast. And hopefully we never experience the tragedy that Job did. But during our lives, we're going to have trouble. That's how it's going to work. Things won't always go exactly according to plan. We will make mistakes. We will be taken advantage of. We will experience unfair moments in our life where we've been cheated, where things just aren't fair. But yet, God desires us to be steadfast. That's to be ye steadfast, unmovable. Peter, when he writes 1 Peter, that is a letter written to the churches of Asia Minor, which is basically Turkey. Now, when he's writing these letters specifically to them, and if you look at when this was written, it's estimated that it was written right around AD 67, is when Peter penned these letters to the churches there. And it's shortly after, if you're looking in the history of the church, it's after the persecution of the Christians by Nero. And so Peter is writing to them to tell them you're going to experience trouble. And he writes his letter to the Christians, and he expresses concern for them because he knows that their suffering for Christ has only just begun. It's going to get worse, much worse, before it gets better for them. So he's writing this letter to them, and he writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." He goes on in 1 Peter 4 to say, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. He's writing to Christians who are being persecuted, who are being executed just for believing that Jesus was the Messiah, believing that having the beliefs of a Christian. And he tells them, but rejoice as in as much as that you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, ye shall experience exceeding joy. Thankfully, we don't live in a time of Christian persecution, where the worst persecution is someone saying something ugly on Facebook, you know, that attacks your belief system. When to avoid that persecution, you sign out of Facebook and that persecution ceases to exist. Thankfully, we are blessed to live in a country that offers religious freedom. Thankfully, we are born into a time that we can experience peace for the most part, especially in the States. I know outside of America, you know, there is not that peace that we're offered. There's countries that is in secret even today. And if you're caught with a Bible, you face persecution, if not death. So Peter is writing this letter, and I know we as an audience can't quite say, well, we understand what you're going through. Because thankfully, praise God, we don't know exactly what he's going to. But he is saying that there will be times you will suffer. There will be difficulties in life. Thank God our difficulties in comparison, you know, health problems, although they're unfortunate and we pray for them, they are not the problems of if you are found with a Bible, you could potentially be executed. That's a completely different set of circumstances that we could possibly experience. But there will still be difficulties. The Lord knows that it isn't always going to be pleasant living for the Lord. It isn't always going to be the easiest thing. In fact, rarely is being a Christian the easiest thing, especially to the level that we aim to be, that we strive to be, walking in truth, not only in our beliefs, but also in our holiness standards. It is not the easiest thing in the world to do. Dressing the way you dress isn't easy. I thank the good Lord at least once a day that he made me a man and I don't have to wear a skirt when it's cold outside. I do not understand how tights can simply offer warmth, and I know they don't. I'm just so thankful for many reasons. I could go on. My wife knows. I will say many times, reason number 92, I am glad I'm a man and not a woman. Just the hair alone. Oh, Lord bless you, ladies. This takes me, I know it looks like it takes me a long time, but it really doesn't. She helps. She offers support. But not just looking at our dress, you know, participating in tithes and offering, giving to building campaigns, giving to Christmas for Christ, She's for Christ, money out of your own pocket, which we don't really believe that, but, you know, looking at it through the world's eyes, money out of your own pocket is not easy, especially when you're looking at your bills for the month and your bank account for the month, and you're wondering how everything is exactly going to line up. It's not easy to take that 10% and give it to the Lord and just say, God, I trust you. It's not easy to give when we do a Christmas for Christ offering and you give that extra $20, $30, $50, whatever you're able to give. This isn't the easiest thing in the world to do. If it was the easiest thing in the world to do, this building would not be able to hold the amount of people. If it was the low-hanging fruit, if that was the simple way out. But God has not called us to take the simple way out. He did not die on the cross for us to take a shortcut. He tells us to be steadfast. Although you're going to have troubles, although you'll have issues, although it won't always be easy, be steadfast. Be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because he knows that good things come when you're steadfast. Finally, Peter, as he nears the close of the letter that he's writing in 1 Peter, we see in chapter 5, verse 8, he says, be sober, Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Be steadfast in your resisting, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He's saying, know that you're not alone, but be steadfast in this. Other people are struggling. You're not by yourself. Then he follows it up in verse 10. It says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He's saying you will experience pain. You will experience suffering. It won't always be easy, but be steadfast, because after you have suffered, God will perfect you, God will establish you, God will strengthen you, and God will settle you. That is what God will do if you will remain steadfast. If you will remain trusting, walking, committed to God. He has exceeding joy, he writes in chapter 4, for you. After you suffered a while, exceeding joy comes. You only receive exceeding joy by being steadfast in God. You only can get to exceeding joy by walking with God, by being consistent in your fellowship with God. That's our hope lies in being settled with Jesus. There's no hope. There's no hope of perfect health. There's no promise of all the money in the world. We don't hold on to all those things. The world would say all the money fixes everything. If you get money, you got it all. But if you've ever experienced more money in your life, you realize it only comes with more problems. There's only more things. It's only more issues. You never get to a place. That's why millionaires strive to be billionaires. When us single-digit heirs, you know, we see millionaires and you think, if I could just have $1 million, you best believe I'd be happy. I wouldn't care. But Mike Greenberg, a famous sports anchor, writes in his autobiography, he talks about, he lives in a neighborhood of millionaires. You know, he's been on ESPN for 25 years. He's done very well for himself. But he talks about the friends that he has, the millionaire friends, not a single one of them are happy. They all look at the billionaire neighborhood and they think, that's what I need. That's what I want. And if that's what we're seeking for, you'll never be content. But if you're seeking after God, you can become content in God if you will be steadfast. We trust that he called us unto his eternal glory if we can become steadfast. So in looking at the scripture, how does the scripture show us that we can be steadfast in our daily lives? First, in our prayer life, we are to be steadfast. We are to be committed to God. In Luke 5, verse 15, it says, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Matthew 14, 22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. If even Jesus himself had to get away from people, had to get separate and alone, away from his disciples, away from the crowd to pray, how do we ever think that we can make it without prayer? How could we ever say, well, I don't really need it. I come to church on a Sunday. I pray pre-service prayer. I even come to on Sunday night prayer. I'm good. Well, but Jesus had to get alone and pray. Jesus had to separate himself. Jesus had to encourage himself in the Holy Ghost or in God's Spirit. Jesus had to get alone and pray alone. So how can we say that we can't? And Jesus even speaks it in Matthew 6, verse 5. It says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. But verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, that's just a scary four-word sentence. They have their reward. I never want it to be said of me in that context. Well, he's got his reward. You know, I that's just never how I want God to see me. But then he goes on to say, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. My wife and I were talking this week, and she was in prayer and had read a scripture, and it was in Psalms, I believe. I don't know it. It was her revelation, not mine. I'm stealing it. I'm stealing a sermon probably from her. But when she preaches this thought at some point, act like I didn't try and steal it. I'm very sorry. But she came. No, I don't want to take that. That's such a good thought. I can't take it because it's a really good thought and it really relates. And I'm not going to step on that. So, I would. The Lord would give you more. You're right. But still. You know what? He will give you more. Amen. Thank you for your willingness. It just fits. It fits so well. I didn't even think about this, and I'm so sorry for stealing this. But I don't know where it's at in Psalm, so that makes it okay. Moving on. I'm going to let it be. I'm struggling internally. It's a good thought. You will enjoy it. Now you have to come back. That's a hook. Now you guys got to come back. But looking also what the scripture says about helping the less fortunate, or before I even get to that, but what Jesus said, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. But don't be like them, but your Father knows what you have need of before you even ask of him. He knows what your needs are. That isn't an excuse not to say the needs. There's sometimes where I struggle internally. Like, God, you know, I get to the point where it's like, okay, I've saved my needs for last, God. You know, I've done, hit the other things, and you know, I know you know my needs. I know you know the house situation. I know you know East and Nave. I know you know these things. So I'm not telling you, God. I mean, this is how I pray, and I don't think it's the right way, but it's just, I want God to know, I know you know my prayers. However, I'm not going to stop praying them because I believe that you hear every single prayer. I don't pray because I don't think God doesn't know. I pray because God knows, but I want him to know that I still believe that he can touch. I still believe that he can work. So I'll bring every single need to him every day. Not because he's not aware. He is keenly aware of our situation. He knows exactly what we need. But we still should pray. We still should bring them to our Father. The scripture in Matthew 25, verse 35 says, I was an hungered, ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That is just so powerful, such a powerful scripture. A scripture that says, the king shall answer and say unto them, when inasmuch you've done it to one of the least, you've done it unto me. The king sees himself as the least. The king, this, I mean, I just love the scripture calling him the king there. But he's saying, I am the king, but also if you would treat the least of me, you are treating the king with respect. You are showing the king love. So we are called to love every single person, regardless if they don't have two nickels to rub together. We love them, regardless if they come stumbling drunk off the street. We love that person. Regardless if they're wearing the same clothes they had on the Sunday before, and there's a smell there, whatever it is, we love them because God calls us to love the least of us, the least of them. If we want to be like Jesus, We have to realize we aren't better than anyone else. We've all made mistakes. Not a single one of us in here are perfect. Not a single one of us here are without sin. So if we are without sin and he loved us, we are to love those that are in the world. Luke 4:42, we are to call to be steadfast in our love for others. We're called to be steadfast in his purpose for our lives. Luke 4:42 says, when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. The people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Jesus often, you see many times in Scripture, he would heal somebody, and he would say, don't share this. Don't keep this under your hat. And of course, every single time, they'd be like, yeah, Jesus, sure thing, won't. Hey, everybody, Jesus. I mean, you'd have to think Jesus at some point, like, okay, there's no point in me even telling you not to tell anybody. You've already tweeted this or put it on Facebook. There's no point. But more important than miracles and grand stories of what Jesus was doing, he was there to preach the kingdom of God. He was there to establish leaders. He was there to reach those that had no way of hearing his message. And more important than miracles or stories of what God has done, we should seek and see the kingdom of God come in our church. We have to preach the kingdom of God to this world. I would love for this sanctuary, this church, this place to be a hotbed of miracles. I would love for people to come in wheelchairs or blinded eyes. I believe God can do that. I believe God wants to do that. But more important than any miracle that we see, I want this place to be a place that preaches the kingdom of God and sees lives transformed, people filled with the Holy Ghost, people brought out of darkness, people established on the firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. That's what God desires of us. That's what God wants us to become. And I want to be steadfast in preaching the kingdom of God to this world. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to encourage everybody, as I'm saying, be steadfast, as I'm trying to push this. I don't think it is from a place of you're not being steadfast. I do believe you are doing well. I believe that we are striving to reach the lost. I believe that you do show love to people that come in here. And I just want to encourage us to just remain steadfast in that. That daily living for the Lord, daily prayer, daily reading his word, daily reaching to the lost, daily encouraging our brothers and sisters, daily spending time with God is how you remain steadfast. If we can be steadfast and determined day in and day out, I believe we'll reap a harvest. It is the law of the harvest. If you sow consistency, if you sow prayer, if you sow time with him, then God will pour out a blessing. God will bring revival. God will do miracles. God will touch your family. I mean, it is what you put in, you will get out. We will reap revival. We will reap blessings. We will see our world changed if we can be steadfast with the Lord. Scripture, our main scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God always notices. Your labor is not in vain. That little thing that nobody notices that you do, God notices. God, if you're about your Father's business, he notices. We should be a church that notices each other. We should be a church that encourages good work. We should be a church that, you know, that pats each other on the back, that elevates each other and gives pats on the back whenever there's a job well done. But if you never get noticed, if your name is never called from a pulpit, no one ever notices your hard work, you should consider yourself lucky, because God has seen every bit of hard work, and I would never trade God's recognition for man's recognition. My wife and I, and we went to a Sheaves for Christ dinner last night, and they were talking about, you know, what are the goals for the youth ministry across the district last night, and kind of setting the goal in mind. And so we had this meal, and they had round tables set up, and we're sitting at a table, and there's another couple that are just sitting by themselves. Everyone just got their food. We're sitting down. We have some friends that we're connected with, and we're sitting with them. And so my friend next to me, I didn't even notice the couple. We were last to be seated. He says, "Oh, they're sitting by themselves." Like, who? "Oh, the couple. They're sitting by themselves. I hate that. Go ask them to come sit with us." Well, we only had one open chair, and there was two tables. We had three babies at the table, and they were an older couple. And I kind of thought for a second, they don't want to sit with us, you know. And you had that first thought. But then I said, okay, slide around. Lauren, slide around. Grab another chair. I'm going to go ask them. So I just went over, come sit with us, and immediately they wanted to sit with us. Huh? Who knew? So they came and sat with us, and, you know, we had a nice meal. I went up to get more food because that's what I do when there's free food. Mama didn't raise no fools. We brought some home. Thank you. But I went up to go get more food, and I walked past one of the established ministers. It was Brother Brosom, our presbyter. He was there, and he stopped me, and he said, "Thanks for pulling them over." And I at first had no clue what he was talking about. And he goes, "Oh, the couple. Thanks for bringing them over." And I just quickly said, "Oh, no problem. You're welcome. Whatever." And then I was driving home, and I told my wife this, and this is being very real and exposed. I was driving home, and I got credit for pulling them over, for bringing them to come sit with us. And I told my wife, it's like, that wasn't my idea. I felt, which it's, this is so minor, and this is a peek into my mindset, so wasn't planning on going here. But I told her, I was like, I just accepted it because I was getting more food, and I didn't know what he was referring to, but I kind of felt guilty, and I felt like, well, I took someone else's recognition. Yes, I got up and did it, but it wasn't, I didn't notice them. I would have just eaten my meal, and, you know, and I felt really bad in that moment that I took his glory. But now, even as I was thinking about this today, I was thinking, well, better for, I got earthly glory, and that was the only bit of glory. Thanks for doing that. But better for him that he did something for the kingdom, he furthered that, and no one noticed. And that's what I want to do. I wasn't pulling them over to get attention anyways, but I stole that attention. But I don't want anything that I do to be for someone else to notice. I want whatever I do for the kingdom of God, God and God alone to notice. I want it to have eternal ramifications in the positive sense, but I only want God to notice what I do for him and what I do for the kingdom of God, because I don't do anything for you. I don't do anything for her. I don't want anything that I do or anything that you do to be attaboys. Wow, he's pretty great. Wow, he's... No. This, like the scripture said, they shall have their reward. I don't want God to say that about me. I want him to give me a reward when I make it to heaven and I see all that I've accomplished in God's eyes. I want to be recognized with him for that. If we could all stand. I know I don't know if that story actually pertained. And again, I hope as I tell that story, the heart comes through that I wasn't trying to seek recognition even talking to you tonight, but just more showing that we need to just not seek recognition. It's not about us and what we're able to do. But when you are steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, know that God is keeping tabs. God is watching. God is paying attention to what you do. Matthew 6, verse 1. It says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. But verily I say unto you, they have their reward." They have their reward. "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Again, the context of this is mainly about giving, talking about alms, but I do believe it lines up with what he said in our previous passage. If you desire recognition from man, then go ahead and make a spectacle of yourself. You'll get your reward. You may even be promoted. You may even, I see, and I want to be careful in saying this, I'm not trying to attack any ministry, any minister, but you see occasionally people post their attributes when it comes to ministry on social media and them seeking recognition. And I've heard ministers talk about how they've always tried to keep their ministry private. And I've enjoyed hearing people talk about keeping ministry private. And I don't want, if my wife goes and sings somewhere, if my wife, is asked to do something, I don't want to say, look how great my wife is. I think my wife is tremendous. I'm very proud of my wife. Amen. She has really good sermon thoughts that I try and steal from time to time. But I abstain. But I don't want anything that I do to be for the glory of Titus, because that's not what this is about. And nothing you do should be the glory of yourself. It should be always for the glory of God. But what you do in secret, how you are steadfast in secret, God sees. God will reward openly. When you bow down to pray at 6 a.m. on a Thursday, when you're tired and sleep deprived and already thinking about the many, many, many things you have to get accomplished today. But when you spend time in prayer, and it's that kind of prayer that you don't even feel anything. You're hitting a wall, you're trying, and it's just difficult. God sees you. God sees your steadfast desire. When you show love to somebody, when you go out of your way to care for somebody that has been overlooked, God sees you being steadfast. God sees your commitment. God watches you when no one else notices, when no one else sees you, when you get into someone else. My brother would always talk about getting into rental cars. He travels a lot for work, and he would just talk about the kind of music that you just never know what you're going to get into. You might be all NPR, might be all Spanish, it might be rock music, it might be whatever, and most of us aren't getting in and out of strangers' cars, but when you do get in someone's car, when you do get into a different car, when you do go into a place that has media that isn't godly media, and you purposely, intentionally turn it off, you intentionally separate yourself, not for acclaim, not for, well, I don't listen to this, but you purposely just step aside because it doesn't align with what you're comfortable with and what you believe in. No one sees it, but God sees it. God notices. When you're driving on the highway and you purposely avoid certain billboards and you purposely avoid, you just protect your mind. God notices. It's all very little thing, but I think God sees every single thing you do. God doesn't just look for the big things. God sees the minor things. And I think even the minor things make God the most proud. That, they really do love me. They really do want to be steadfast. They really do want a better relationship with me. If you put in the work with God, if you show up for God, God always shows up. We sang it on Sunday, the Waymaker. Even if you don't see it, even if you don't feel it, even if you don't know it, you should believe it, that God sees you. God will reward. It may not look like the reward you desired. It may not be the reward you asked for, but I don't want any reward that I can see. I want what God has for me. If I choose my own reward, that reward is going to falter, is going to fail. It won't last me. I want God's eternal reward for my soul. So as we close tonight, why don't we just bow our heads and let's just ask God in our own personal way, how can I be more steadfast this week? What can I do? Come on, let's just spend just a moment praying together. God, help me to be steadfast. God, help us to receive this word. Help us, God, in everything that we do to be unmovable. That although we get hit with different situations and there's surprises, there's bills. There's health things. There's family issues. God, let us be unmovable when these times are tough, when we go through difficulties. Or like when Peter said, we experience fiery trials, God, because we know that after we suffer a while, you will perfect us, you will establish us, you will settle us. We hold on to that we may endure suffering, but that suffering brings exceeding joy. So help us, each and every person tonight, to be steadfast, to be planted firmly in this gospel, firmly in this truth, knowing that you see everything. God, you do not overlook a single thing that we do for the kingdom of God. You are keeping record. You are watching and monitoring us. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. God, we thank you for it. God, let our reward be in heaven. Let us not be seeking personal gain. Let us not be seeking pats on the back or seeking attention from man or from woman. God, let us not seek promotion or favor, God, with man. God, but let us seek you. Let us seek your perfect will. In Jesus' name, help us, God. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. God, you see every single person. God, I pray a special prayer over everybody in this place tonight. God, I pray that you'd touch them. God, you'd keep them. God, you know what they're facing tomorrow. You know what Friday holds. God, I pray that you would keep every single person. God, you would encourage them. You would bless them, God, for coming to this place tonight. Walk alongside them tonight. God, I pray, Lord, as they're going to sleep, let there be a special peace. God, maybe somebody here has just had some fear and some doubt as they get into bed. But I pray that your perfect peace would be there, God, that before they shut their eyes, before they go to sleep, God, that they would know that you are as close as the mention of your name. God, strengthen somebody. God, help them to know that they've not been left alone. They have not been left comfortless, that you are walking with them. I don't know who needs to hear that, but God, you are walking with them tonight. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I do feel that. I do feel that God is trying to tell somebody that you are not alone. Amen. Amen. I know that's a very simple thing to say, but I just want you to know. Whoever, if somebody really needs to hear that, you are not alone, and God sees you, and God knows what you're going through, and God wants to come along beside you. Be steadfast. Trust that he knows what you're going through. Trust that he's got a way out, even when there seems to be no way. Trust that he saw this coming. This did not surprise him, and he knows what he's doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for your worship.